The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. We've been getting quite a bit of mail over the last week and a half. We haven't actually gone through much on the program. So today I'd like to sprinkle as many comments into the show as possible. You could maybe consider this a grab bag of sorts as we try to update you on some of the feedback that we've been getting from listeners who come from all parts of the earth, all over the world, tuning in, or else listening to the play on SoundCloud or through some other means. This first one here comes from, well, I don't have where it comes from, but it's in response to the program we did Friday. Graduates, don't discard the time-tested values because they're old. You'll recall we focused in on some of the comments that President Ronald Reagan made back in 1981. We'll replay one of those here in just a second. But this listener writes that, and it's a relatively colorful email, that was sent in, that old story about George Washington chopping down the cherry tree and confessing to what he did, saying he could not tell a lie, would go much different today. Instead of having a founder using the law of God as the origin of this country, now we would have a man of unknown origin use a chainsaw in the middle of the night to fell that cherry tree, say that someone else did the act, and then say, what tree? Years later, he would then begin to brag about what he got away with, expressing much disdain for the stupid people that he tricked, and next would erect a monument to himself there in the place of the stump. He says here, this country used to be rooted in the source of all strength and at least acknowledged the source of our blessings, even while being ignorant of God's promise and plan. Now we've seen all of it uprooted. But the source remains, he concludes. The few roots that are still planted in the truth may even be killed on the surface by Satan, but in dying in the truth and with the source, we'll outlive those who write unlawful laws and write our death warrants. That came in response to Friday's show, leading into the graduation weekend. This second one here, also in response to that program. Thank you so much for the program today. I totally agree that we as a nation have forgotten how important history is to both us and our children. We've become a nation of self-centered pleasure seekers, interested only in the here and now. When I was in school, history was a necessity, a core subject that one had to have in order to graduate. And then later on, it says, children do indeed rule over us. Entertainers are our heroes now. So very, very sad. Thank you so much for the program. Well, that show we did Friday, of course, that followed right after one that Brad McDonald did on Thursday about our celebrity culture. And that also generated quite a lot of feedback, which I'll get to later in the program. But just to focus here on the point made in this email about history being a necessity. And that's the way that it used to be. But as we pointed out on Friday, I mean, today you could go all the way through college without even taking a history course. And then, as we've been pointing out in recent shows, you have leaders right at the very top in the United States that look upon America's history with disdain. It's a reoccurring theme in some of President Obama's speeches. This is what the president had to say in Vietnam yesterday.
At a time when many conflicts seem intractable, seem as if they will never end, we have shown that hearts can change and that a different future is possible when we refuse to be prisoners of the past.
Prisoners of the past. It seems that this leader, together with his speechwriters, can hardly avoid any opportunity to just show contempt for history, for America's history, for heritage, for tradition. Of course, we have to look forward and be people of vision. But at the same time, I mean, we have to be grounded in the past. We have to remember our heritage. We have to remember or go back to our roots. This is what President Ronald Reagan was getting at when he gave that commencement in Notre Dame back in 1981. We played this particular clip on Friday. Here it is again.
We need you. We need your youth. We need your strength. We need your idealism to help us make right that which is wrong. Now, I know that this period of your life you have been and are critically looking at the mores and customs of the past and questioning their value. Every generation does that. May I suggest, don't discard the time-tested values upon which civilization was built simply because they're old.
Don't throw them away just because they're old, these time-tested values. We played that other clip on Friday as well. You'll remember where he talked about the 56 founding fathers and how 16 of them gave up everything and how so many of them gave up their fortune for this new nation, for these time-tested values upon which America was built. Another listener wrote this in response to that show. Being so inspired by your explanations of what's going on in our world and the solutions to its problems, we once again express our appreciation for your efforts. When you mentioned about remembering our heritage, Isaiah 54:17 came to mind. It says, "This is the heritage of the servants of the Eternal, and their righteousness is of me." And then this listener says, as you explained, our history must be included in our education. It must be included. It's a building block. It's essential. It's a necessity. Well, you can look in history and see a lot of examples. We contrasted the sentiments of the current president of the United States with Mr. Reagan from that speech back in 1981. Another example was sent to me recently by one of our listeners. This comes from Boris Johnson's book, The Churchill Factor. And of course, Johnson, as he says early on in his book, he believes that history is best studied when you study it as it's been shaped by personalities, individuals, towering figures of history. I mean, the history books of today, if college students even get into those, they just focus in on events as if human beings had nothing to do with the flow of events. But Boris Johnson believes you need to study it as it's been shaped by personalities. My father's given lections on that same point over the years as well. These are many of his favorite books to study. Biographies about individuals that help to shape history. Johnson says in The Churchill Factor, his book, "When I was growing up, there was no doubt about it. Winston Churchill was the greatest statesman Britain had ever produced. My brother and I pored over Sir Martin Gilbert's biographical life in pictures enough to memorize the captions. I knew that Churchill had led my country to victory against one of history's most disgusting tyrannies. I knew that he had a mastery of the art of speechmaking, and I knew even then that this art was dying out. I knew that he was funny, irreverent, and even by the standards of his time, politically incorrect." Johnson says later, "I gathered that there was something holy and magical about him. Because my grandparents kept the front page of the Daily Express from the day he died in 1965 at the age of 90, I was pleased to have been born a year before his death. The more I read about him, the more proud I was to have been alive when he was too. It's a different way of thinking, isn't it? David McCullough brought this out in that article we read last week also. Those that have a love for history and heritage, and those who talk often about being prisoners of the past, let's forget about the past. Johnson says here, most Americans, when they think of Churchill at all, seem to retain that pride and reverence, so it seems all the more sad and strange that today, nearly 50 years after his death, he wrote this a couple of years ago. We've now passed that 50 years. 1960, yeah, I guess it'd be 55 years, 56 years. It says nearly 50 years after his death. Well, he died in 65, so yeah, we just passed it. He seems in some danger of being shoved aside in the memory of the nation he saved. Now he's talking about Britain. Students in Britain. British students who pay attention in class are under the impression that he was the guy who fought Hitler to rescue the Jews. But a June 2012 survey, this is just a few years ago, of about 1,000 British secondary school students age 11 to 18 showed that while 92% of them could identify a picture of a dog named Churchill from a popular British insurance advertisement, 92%! Only 62% correctly identified a photo of Sir Winston Churchill. Barely 60% of British school children, not 7-year-olds. The teenagers, 11 to 13, to 18. Only 6 in 10 can even identify a picture of Churchill. Johnson says that fading memory is a particular shame, since Churchill is so obviously a character who should appeal to young people today. I mean, they should find this man fascinating in looking into his life and what he did and how he rallied the nation and how brave and courageous he was and how strong he was in leadership. Such a proponent of empire. You would think he'd be held up as a hero. Not so. Johnson says the soldiers of World War II are gradually fading away. We're losing those who can remember the sound of his voice. But we should never forget the scale of his deeds. Without Churchill, here's the impact that this one personality had on history. Of course, God was behind it. There's another being who was involved in this history too. It says, without Churchill, Hitler would almost certainly have won, and Nazi gains in Europe might well have been irreversible. Churchill spoke to the depths of people's souls when Britain was alone, when the country was fighting for survival, and he reached them and comforted them in a way no other speaker could have done. His language, stirring and old-fashioned, met the moment. Finally, Boris Johnson says here, we need to remember the ways in which this British Prime Minister helped to make the world in which we still live. Across the globe, from Europe to Russia to Africa to the Middle East, we see traces of his shaping mind. And of course, there was a much greater mind behind his, as I just noted. But this is the world. This is the world that we live in. Whether it's Europe, Russia, Africa, and this post-World War II order, even as Britain handed it over to the United States of America, we now see it unraveling. And you see a lot of people, and here's the stunner, you see a lot of people in Britain and in the United States who are applauding that, who see all of this as, well, this is a good thing that Britain lost the empire, that the rest of the nations have now caught up to the United States, that the United States is no longer the world's policeman. We know where this is leading. You know, I mean, if you've listened to this program, if you've followed God's work, you know where it's leading. Another email in response to yesterday's show. It says here, not performing the truth makes life a lie. Yesterday we talked about how that we have to be a doer. If we want to remember God's truth, if we want to remember what we've been taught, we have to really take it and use it. This email says, not performing the truth makes life a lie, and lies dissolve so easily from memory. And a mind full of lies has many holes in its memory. But if we perform according to the truth and do the commandments that we read, those words will not perish from our minds, and neither will we. But we will be alive forever and in the mind of God. It says, writing this does indeed help my mind exercise in the truth. And thanks to God with his TDR for provoking this. The content of these shows is certainly worth thinking about, even if the hands must be tied up doing other things all day. Blessed our God, or rather bless our God with his higher thoughts and deeper thoughts than our own. So many of these emails, you do see quite a lot of appreciation from our listeners. Like I say, there's quite a few of them to go through, and several that we'll look at later if we have time, have commented on just how life-changing the experience has been being a listener to KPCG. But going back to this point made in the one I just read, not performing the truth makes life a lie, and lies dissolve so easily from memory. This article here from yesterday, Eli Lake wrote it. It's the secret history of the Iran deal echo chamber. You'll recall the echo chamber comment made by Ben Rhodes in that New York Times feature that we examined a few weeks ago, where he bragged about, well, we created the echo chamber. We sent the experts out. We gave them the talking points. We told them what to say about Iran and this nuclear deal. And it was satisfying to see the reporters, like dupes, just pick that story up and run with it. And they did all the work for us. Eli Lake goes into more detail on how the White House fooled Congress and how the White House fooled the United States, Americans, to get this deal done. Lake says a network of advocates, experts, and messaging specialists, the White House says, helped it sell the Iran nuclear deal in 2015, actually began to campaign for such an accord 4 years earlier, before the real negotiations started. Even 4 years before. Well, Rouhani comes into power, what was it, 2013? And so you go 4 years before that. That's right at the outset of President Obama's presidency. He wanted it from the beginning. He wanted it more than the Iranians. This is his legacy. Lake says, last week I was leaked emails and documents from an internal listserv operated by the arms control nonprofit Plowshares Fund. This is the organization that worked along with the White House to spin this story. Lake says that foundation has come under scrutiny after the New York Times Magazine quoted top White House foreign policy aide Ben Rhodes boasting how the foundation amplified the White House message in 2015 on the Iran deal. Rhodes told the magazine that supporters of the deal comprised an echo chamber, suggesting the independent experts were tools of a White House media campaign. It says, but the messaging work from Plowshares on Iran began long before there was any Iran deal and long before Rhodes convened his regular meetings with progressive groups on shaping the Iran narrative. So it's basically just pointing out that the more you dig into it, the farther down the lies go. Right down the line. It says, beginning in August 2011, Plowshares and its grantees formed the Iran Strategy Group. Over time, this group created a sophisticated campaign to reshape the national narrative on Iran. That campaign sought to portray skeptics of diplomacy as being pro-war and to play down the dangers of the Iranian nuclear program before formal negotiations started in 2013, only to emphasize those dangers after there was an agreement in 2015. Now they're being emphasized. Now that the agreement has been made. Well, now, actually, they were so close. They were days away. Isn't it incredible that we were able to make this deal with them? It says the strategy group, which included representatives of the Arms Control Association, the National Security Network, the National Iranian American Council, well, all these groups sought to develop process and mechanism to implement Iran campaign strategies, tactics, and narrative. This is why these groups came together. Well, they had to spin the story just right to get the deal through. And then even once the deal was done, the story continued to change. And now, just like that listener brought out, you're a little ways away from the deal being finalized, and you've got them out there bragging. I can't believe how stupid people are. I can't believe how stupid these reporters are. This was all our doing. This was coming from our own echo chamber. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma, and the live stream's available at thetrumpet.com and kpcg.fm. When we come back, we'll go through more mail. We got mail, lots of it. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
One listener writes, I'm from Trinidad in the Caribbean, housewife and mother, and I listen to your programs through SoundCloud every day. All the programs are downloaded right there. It's so convenient for me, whether I'm inside or outside the house working. Modern technology is so amazing when you use it the right way. We'll come back to this point in just a second as well. I must say that these programs are great. I remember how excited I was when I heard that the PCG was about to have a radio station, but I did not have the internet at the time. But now I do, and what a tremendous blessing from God to be able to reach a wider audience in the world. I pray that these messages will reach every home on earth. The world needs this. The world needs this message. The world needs this radio station. It needs this content. It needs these programs. That's from Trinidad. Here's one from South Africa. Thank you for all the great effort you put into every show. It's fabulous listening to your shows in the mornings, especially, to uplift the mind and sharpen one's focus for the day ahead. A substantial, healthy mind breakfast to start each day with. My dream and prayer is that one day anyone will be able to turn on their regular radio and be able to hear these inspiring messages and current news from the PCG without need for internet connections, which isn't available to many. Have a terrific day. Warm regards from an avid South African fan. This next one here, greetings. Thank you for today's program. Amazing how technology is increasing, but the fund of knowledge going down. Putting what God teaches into practice helps our memory. That's in response, of course, to yesterday's show upon improving or on improving your memory. This next one here, also from South Africa, says thank you again to all the hosts of TD. This program, of course, we've had a number of others filling in recently, Robert Morley and Richard Palmer, Brad McDonald, and we have a lot of people contributing behind the scenes to this program and others on this this station as well. It truly is a team effort. It says, this program is having a real impact on my life. At dinner, we talk with the children about goings-on in the world, things we listen to on the Trumpet Daily program. As it happens, I picked up a real paper newspaper, in an airport 2 days ago. The front page bold headline read, Germany wants an EU army. It was a British publication. This shook me a bit. But immediately I thought of the programs we've been listening to, and also where an electrifying headline like this leads to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Thank you to all the staff who don't always get acknowledged but are so vital in making this high-quality program available to us, your listeners. Please keep up the standard. We're always praying for you. This one here in response to Brad McDonald's show from Thursday last week, Lessons from Our Dysfunctional Celebrities. If you didn't hear that one yet, you can go and find it on the website under the radio tab or at our SoundCloud page. This listener says, good day and congratulations on the good work that continues to come from this and all your other programs. The aforementioned program was a very powerful reality check for the listenership and was based on facts that are out there and recorded for anyone interested in the truth. Another one writes, your radio program is fantastic. I'm not quite on the level of that lady who has heard every single episode, but I have listened to most of them. They help me focus. They help me to focus. This one here from Oklahoma. Thank you for your Trumpet Daily radio program. I love it. I try to keep up and listen every day. All of the radio programs are such a good replacement for worldly media and give me inspiration to stay focused on the right things throughout the day. It's truly a blessing to have a righteous wavelength to tune into. Music and TV has been something else I've struggled with. I used it as an escape, a way to take my mind off of things. Having KPCG has helped me wean myself off of that satanic entertainment. She uses the word wavelength there. You think about Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Satan's broadcast. How that, as Mr. Armstrong wrote, Herbert Armstrong, the devil has surcharged the air with his attitude, his moods, his impulses. And that's what you see or hear filling the airwaves. That message, as it comes through radios, as it comes through televisions, as it comes through the internet, And of course, you have all of these dysfunctional celebrities out there actively working to promote that message. And so much of it, most of it, it comes right out of the mind of the devil. It sure does. We really do have to tune into God's wavelength just to keep our minds right, just to maintain focus, as several of these listeners are bringing out. We need it. We need to feed on it. One more in response to the program Mr. McDonald did. Thank you, Mr. McDonald, it says, for digging into this very personally and painfully relevant topic. I have often used my skills and talents in order to pursue the vain and deranged lust to be an object of worship. It says the results have been ugly and tragic beyond the understanding of most people. Thank you for exposing the dire need to turn from such thinking and doing, and to turn to the only source of life and fulfillment. Thank God for directing the PCG, and thank you, PCG, for doing the job. Here's another one acknowledging how strong the pull of this world is. Mr. Armstrong said in his book, The Missing Dimension in Sex, that few people stop to realize to what extent teenagers are taking over. You know, the ones that can't recognize a picture of Winston Churchill. These are the ones taking over. These are the ones that lead the way in worshiping dysfunctional celebrities. These are the ones that the world glamorizes and worships. And they've taken over their influence. They pretty well dominate the world picture, Mr. Armstrong said. And what many don't realize, as he wrote in MDS, is that this teenage influence on the whole society, it's predominantly sexual. Sex and violence. That's what we want to consume when we turn on the radio, or maybe you could add entertainment and sports in there with it. But the themes more often than not, sex and violence. No wonder our society, our civilization is upside down. It's on the way down and out, as Mr. Armstrong said. This is the world that God says to come out of. Don't be equally yoked together with unbelievers, Paul wrote. Come out. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Come out of this celebrity culture. Shun these evil influences. Tune in to God's wavelength. Turn on God's channel. Verse 18 says, and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Eternal Almighty. Yes, God will be a father to you. He's a loving father. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be involved in your activities. He's there to offer guidance and direction, to offer love and encouragement, to administer correction, if we'll receive it. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We can't have a relationship with God if we're in love with this world. We can't draw close to our Heavenly Father if we love the world and the things of this world more than we love Him. John said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but of the world. It's all worldliness. And he goes on to say that the world's going to pass away. But he that does the will of God abides forever. That's why we've got to abide in the truth. That's why we've got to tune in to God's wavelength. This is what true education is all about. We've been stressing this over the past several programs. What to come out of and what to head into. We're here to prepare to start a new world. That's what's coming at the return of Jesus Christ. The establishment of God's kingdom on this earth, a new civilization with God's government, God's family administering his government over all the earth. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial. When we come back, more responses, more emails from some of you dear listeners. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
For an easy-to-read, information-rich news brief, join the growing readership of the Trumpet Weekly. Now you can enjoy all the top news stories from the previous week condensed into a report combining the commentary, analysis, and reporting you've come to expect from thetrumpet.com sent directly to your email. Subscribing is completely free. Simply visit the Trumpet Weekly section of thetrumpet.com to subscribe by email today.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England. This is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
Welcome back to the show. A few more emails that we've received in recent days. This one from North Carolina. I wanted to let you know that I was using the internet to listen to the programs after the fact. I've progressed to the point that now I listen as much as possible to the live broadcasts on my smartphone. The reason I see the value, the quality, and the truth in each and every show. I need these to help fight daily evil, which is everywhere in the world. The words empower me to live at a higher godly standard. So here's one that was getting the play later, which is just as well for so many of you. But he wanted to get it when it happens, live. There is something, I think, a little more exciting about getting the live play of any particular broadcast. This one here from Florida. I really enjoy the program, all the programs for that matter. I'm 28 years old from Miami. I've learned much from the Trumpet Daily and informed people of the program. And she talks about how there's a message for believers to wake up, and also for non-believers to pay attention and to see what God has prophesied and to see these prophecies that are coming to pass. She says, finally, I'm grateful for the parent-like tone that emanates from the radio. She listens on her cell phone using Bluetooth technology. Another one here in response to Brad McDonald's show last week on the dysfunctional celebrities. Great thought-provoking program today. I really got it. And so true were the words. All the money and fame and power a person might have is nothing. It does not bring happiness or purpose like a personal relationship with God. It's just striving at the wind. It doesn't fill the void, as Mr. McDonald covered on Thursday. This last one here from New Zealand. Thank you very much for your fascinating program on the Trumpet Daily about dysfunctional celebrities. Your program adds significantly to the things that I've learned about the meaning of life over the years, and it would be much appreciated if you would send me a copy of the August 1962 Plain Truth article by Mr. Armstrong about the void in us all. He went through that 1962 article, some of it, Brad McDonald did. And I'll just follow on that instruction from last week with a few additional thoughts here. If you'd like to read along, let's look at what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here again, Brad McDonald was talking on Thursday about that need in man, about the incompleteness of man, the spirit of man. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 2 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Now again, as we read in the last segment, you can't love God if you love the world. But if you love God, God can fill your life. Fill that void. Verse 10, "But God's revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." That's what fills the void, God's Holy Spirit. "For what man knows the things of a man," verse 11 says, "save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." The natural mind of man simply can't understand the things of God without this spiritual component. In other words, of and by himself, man is incomplete. God said so in Genesis 2:18, "It's not good that man be alone." Of course, he was talking there about alone physically. But what so many don't realize is that we're also alone spiritually. Unless we go through the process that brings us to conversion, that brings us to the receipt of God's Spirit. Verse 14 in 1 Corinthians 2, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him." So many people, you see, you played this program. If you played this program for them, they wouldn't understand it. They wouldn't grasp it. As simple and straightforward as it might sound to you. God has to open our minds to the truth. We've got to be willing to forsake the ways of this world, to come out of this world, and to embrace God and his teachings, to love God. Let me just play for you. Well, we've talked often about the paradox of today. All of this materialistic knowledge, but we're certainly not getting any better as a society. Never mind what some leaders in the world today might say about how much we're progressing. The technology is there for sure. But look at where we are in terms of morals and values, in terms of law and government. Well, Mr. Armstrong talks about that void in man that's there. This is from a message that he gave back in 1982.
God's given them a mind that animals do not have. In order to do that, God put one spirit, a human spirit, in Adam. And God so formed Adam that in every human born, a human spirit would come into that human. Now, that spirit is no part of the human. It's just something in him that leaves him at death. And it is something that imparts the power of intellect to a physical brain. The human physical brain is no better than an animal brain. But it can do a lot of things an animal brain can't because of that spirit that is there. But mentally, it's only half there. It has only one spirit. And to have a full mind, it needs another spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and it can't receive spiritual knowledge. So it was spiritually incomplete too.
That's Herbert Armstrong commenting on, well, what Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 2 and what's recorded there in Genesis 2. We have a human spirit, just like Paul explained to the Corinthians, which is why we can think and reason and create, and animals can't. But of itself, it's incomplete. Mentally, we're only half there. To have a full mind, we need the Spirit of God. We need God's power. And without this power, without this spiritual life coming from our Father in heaven, well, man is just going to have a sense of emptiness. He'll have a hunger and a thirst for filling that emptiness, for filling that void. But the things that he pursues to fill the void, entertainment, celebrity, and so on, worldliness, it's never going to satisfy that hunger, that strong desire to fill the void in his life. God created us this way, to have that hunger. When the family of God is finally ruling this earth, of course, this is what every individual on earth is going to be taught. It comes back to education, preparing people for baptism, conversion, the receipt of God's Spirit, teaching them to feed on God's Word, God's truth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Here's another one from a sermon Mr. Armstrong gave back in, this is either a sermon from the 80s or an old radio program, but here's clip 4.
We were made mortal, but we were made incomplete, and we're made to need the Spirit of God. And you're not really all there. You're not complete as long as you're a mere physical being until you receive what you were not born with, but what you were made to need. You were born to need it, and without it, you're incomplete, and that is the Spirit of God. And we're made so we can receive the Spirit of God, but there are terms and conditions. The Spirit of God comes only if and after you really surrender to God, to His government, to His authority, and to His rule over you.
Well, you can tell from the sound of his voice there that that's from the old radio show back in the 1960s, where he sounded a bit younger. But he was talking on the same subject, how that we're not really all there, not complete. Born to need another spirit, and without it, we're incomplete. You can receive that spirit that you need to be complete, but there are terms and conditions, as he said. We've got to forsake worldliness and surrender to God. Believe in faith. Repent, as Jesus taught, and be baptized. In that 1962 article, the one that Brad McDonald quoted from on Thursday last week, Mr. Armstrong says the only thing that will impart to him this sense of satisfaction, completeness, abundance, is God's Spirit, God's nature, God's fullness. Yet his carnal mind does not recognize that fact. The carnal mind of man doesn't recognize that the Spirit of God is the only thing that will satisfy the hunger, that will fill that void. He says here, being incomplete, lacking in the spiritual waters and heavenly food, God's Word, that would fill him to satisfaction, he has a gnawing soul hunger that leaves him miserable, empty, discontented. He seeks to quench this his thirst and satisfy his soul hunger in the interests and pursuits and pleasures of this world. Just like Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's what most of us are seeking to fill that void with. He says this very lack within him, this spiritual need, gives him an innate inferiority complex. He senses his inferiority as compared to God, His lack of what he was made to need, but not understanding what it is, he seeks to quell the painful sense of inferiority by conceit and blowing up the ego, the self, with vanity and self-exaltation. This vanity, then, is a substitute for God and his Spirit, another God before the true God. And that's the idol that has to be crushed. If we're to receive the Spirit of God, that vanity, that self-exaltation, like he said in that previous clip, that's got to be crushed, and then we've got to surrender to God and his government. So God created this need. He created us in this incomplete state. And Adam, of course, rejected that Spirit that would have made his life complete, him complete mentally and spiritually. He rejected the tree of life when he went and took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Here's another clip from Mr. Armstrong. This one's from 1982.
What man needed was the Spirit of God. The one Spirit in man was alone and lonesome. That's why man is unhappy. That's why he is discontented. You may have contented cows, but you don't have contented people. Cows out in the pasture go ahead munching on their grass, and they're contented. People are not contented. Because the Spirit, that one Spirit in people, gets a wrong attitude, and it clashes with the Spirit in some other people. And their spirit will not be in harmony with God's Spirit.
So here again, we're incomplete without it. But it's worse than just being incomplete, as he explained there. This is the reason why there's so much unhappiness and discontentment. In 2 Timothy 1, Paul said to Timothy there, he urged him to stay grounded in God's truth, and he said there to stir up the gift of God. Make sure you stir up the gift of God, the Spirit, in other words, that we have to go to God to receive. Ask him for it, the Father of lights, the Father of every good gift. He'll give his Spirit to those who meet those terms and conditions and then who go to God and ask for more of it so that they can be complete spiritually, content, happy, filled with joy, strengthened with might, disciplined, temperate. Here's one last clip. This is from an old radio show.
The electricity comes into a light bulb, for instance, or a machine or a motor on one wire. It goes out on the other. There's a return circuit. It takes two wires. And it's moving. It's flowing. It isn't static. It isn't standing still. And that's the way it is with the Spirit of God. If God gives you his Holy Spirit, it doesn't stay stagnant within you. It must move. It must flow out from you like rivers of living water. In obedience, in reverence, in worship, and awe, and respect, and obedience to God. That's the way you love God.
That's the way you love God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, that we submit to his authority and rule, that we receive of his Spirit, and that it flows into our lives and then out of our lives in the form of good fruits. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance. It's got to be on a continuous flow. It's like Jesus said in John 7. Rivers of living water. This is the gift that Paul said to Timothy. You better stir that up. Don't let that ever just come down to a trickle. Make sure that the waters of God's Holy Spirit are flowing. This is the only way that we're going to survive and thrive in this present evil world. It's by stirring up God's Holy Spirit. That's our life. That's our lifeline. And what a power it is. It's the greatest power in the universe. It's in fact the power that brought the universe into existence. Without that power, the power of God's Holy Spirit, without it working actively in our minds, our human spirit will be all alone. It will be lonesome, as Mr. Armstrong said. It will be incomplete. We'll only be half there. We need the Spirit of God. Well, hopefully I can pick up with this theme, if not tomorrow, in a later program. But we're out of time with this grab bag of a program. Thanks for all of the emails that have been rolling in recent days. If you'd like to email the show, send those comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.